All right, the Shilling Show continues here on a Turbo Tuesday edition of the program. We're online at shillingshow.com. Don't forget to be a friend on Facebook. Now over the 4,300 mark, friends across the country and around the world, we appreciate your patronage. We go now to the Newsmaker line and our news correspondent, Rolene Marks, live from Israel on this very interesting and very significant diplomatic relations normalization between Israel and the United Arab Emirates. Rolene Marks, welcome back to the Shilling Show. It's been too long.
It's been far too long, and I don't often get to say this, but it is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's great news as we speak, but we do have it confirmed from the Sudan as well that we are in the process of peace talks with the Sudan, and an official in the Sudanese foreign ministry saying that there is no reason why there should be hostility with Israel. So it looks like a new day, a new dawn for the Middle East, and that we have the peace agreement, or as I prefer to call it, a normalization agreement, the Abraham Accord with the United Arab Emirates. The two countries have not had hostilities like we have with countries like Syria or Yemen, but it really seems to be the harbinger, the alert start of great things to come for us all.
Help us to understand why we were at this place. In other words, the history that led us here, why these nations were not accepting Israel's right to exist, which I think is the underlying issue here, is it not?
This is the underlying issue, and there has been a historical lack of recognition. In fact, it's quite a full circle moment for Israel and the Sudan while we are in this process of negotiation, because if you go back to 1967, we have those three historical no's of Khartoum. No negotiation, no recognition, no peace, with Khartoum being in the Sudan. And today, just these years later, we are speaking about a negotiation taking place for recognition and for peace at this moment. And last week, the news breaking that the United Arab Emirates has signed an agreement to recognize existence and recognize Israel, the normalization of ties that brings together two Abrahamic religions, the two descendants of Abraham. And it means incredible things for the region. You know, we're not naive. It's not just about economic cooperation and possible diplomatic channels opening up and travel and cultural exchanges. We also have a major enemy threatening the region in the form of Iran, an Iranian state-sponsored terror. So we are seeing shifting sands, and we have seen over the last year or so this incredible trajectory towards this moment, the signing of cooperation to work together during the pandemic, the delivery of aid coming from on a plane, very proudly marked with its Etihad insignia, and the publishing of opinion editorials in the Hebrew media by the leaders of the United Arab Emirates, and comments about how it's been a trajectory. But in the past, this kind of normalization, this kind of recognition has been contingent upon any peace agreement between Israel and the Palestinians. Now, this turns the equation up on its head, and this says, we're going to move forward regardless of this, which has not been well received by the Palestinians and other countries. But, if you carry on doing the same thing you've done for the last 70 years and not achieving results, something has to change, and perhaps this is the new avenue towards peace with our Palestinian neighbors as well.
We're talking with Rolene Marks live from Israel on this historic agreement between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and others soundingly soon to follow. So what would be the issue of the Palestinians with Israel having a better relation with an Arab neighbor? It seems counterintuitive to me, Rolene.
Absolutely. It does seem counterintuitive. Just this morning, the Palestinian Authority announced that they would be pulling out of the global expo that will be taking place in Dubai. And this is an opportunity away from politics to grow business opportunities, to build ties with people, business people, cultural exchanges, tourism exchanges from other countries. They see this normalization agreement as a betrayal of their cause. But I think over the last couple of years, we've seen Arab countries growing very, very frustrated with continued Palestinian belligerence and obstinance. Last year, we had the Manamah talks in Bahrain that were headed by the United States. This was an opportunity to build peace from the ground up. In fact, the confab was called Peace to Prosperity. The Trump administration put down its points for growing the Palestinian economy, putting the necessary infrastructure in place. And this was roundly rejected by the Palestinian leadership. And any businessmen from the territories who attended were summarily arrested upon their return. And of course, we had the outright rejection of the Trump peace plan by Mahmoud Abbas, who's in the 15th year of his five-year term. I mean, you know, we want to talk about great democracies of the region. This is the situation that we find ourselves in. And I think the Arab world now has grown frustrated. The Palestinian cause features lower and lower and lower on the agenda. And now we have to turn our heads towards how do we come out of the economic hit that all countries, not just this region, have taken from the spread of the COVID-19 pandemic, but also how do we move forward and work towards a future where we not only deal with the massive threat by Iran and their state-sponsored proxies of terror, but also how we improve the future for the next generations to come and grow our economies and cooperation.
We have just a couple minutes left with Rolene Marks, our news correspondent live from Israel. I saw some critical press on this, specifically tying rumors of an F-35 stealth jet sale to UAE as a part of this deal. Of course, they said it was unconfirmed, but I wanted to ask you if there was anything to this and how this is being received generally across Israel.
Well, one of the criteria, and I'm glad you asked the question, one of the criteria that the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, reaffirmed today that there will be no selling of arms. This is one of the criteria, one of the clauses in this deal, that there will be no selling of arms between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and the selling of F-35 to the UAE. He has made that very, very clear. What we have seen in the last couple of days is the opening up of communication channels, phone lines being opened with restrictions on websites being lifted, talk of direct flights over Saudi Arabian Air, which is very, very significant because perhaps Saudi is another country to follow along with Bahrain, Oman, perhaps Morocco, as we heard today, the Sudan, and I'm sure many others will follow. So that's the type of cooperation we're talking about at the moment. But the selling of arms and military equipment is not part of the deal.
I want to circle back to Iran for a moment because a lot of the headlines say this is not directed at Iran, this is not directed at Iran, almost as if it were a talking point. But there are many nations in the region which are concerned with the Iranians. And I wanted to ask you about the connection between Iran and the Palestinians. Is there a direct connection there? Because there's been a lot of trouble from Israel on both fronts.
There is a connection between Iran and the Palestinians. You know, on our northern border in Lebanon, we have Hezbollah, a state-sponsored proxy by the Iranians. And we've seen numerous attacks over the years, including the Second Lebanon War, where they have fired rockets from southern Lebanon into northern Israel, and of course a heating up of the border just several weeks ago. But the real threat is in the south, with their sponsoring of Hamas, who are in control of the Gaza Strip. In fact, as we speak, Hamas who are responsible for governing the Strip have allowed terror entities within the Gaza Strip to send over arson balloons, setting fires to thousands of dunams of very, very important and valuable nature reserve and agricultural land. Mm-hmm. One fire set in a kindergarten yesterday, which thank goodness a million times, is closed for the holidays. And using helium that could be used to treat COVID-19 patients, which I know hospitals are crying for around the world, they are using this to inflict terror on Israel. And along with that, the rockets, the mortars that come from Iran. So we definitely see a direct connection between Iran and their proxies, Hamas, Hezbollah, and other smaller terror groups, and also the funding of continued hate indoctrination, which just takes the cycle of violence and hatred around and around and around. And we are now hoping that this move to start recognizing Israel and working together will poke a giant hole in that never-ending circle.
It's great to have some good news, because we often talk about the very dangerous situations that you live with daily. Rolene Marks, if people would like to visit you online or follow you in social media, tell us how, please.
Absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at Rolemarks. You can also follow my other website, which I have with the two partners, layoftheland.online. We promise to give you a lay of the land, that you get an understanding of the region. And also on Facebook, you can follow us at Lossal Sight, and you can follow me at Rolene Marks. And I'm very, very happy to take your questions.
Indeed. And we continue to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, the peace of Israel. And I thank you so much for joining us here today on The Shilling Show, Ro. It's great to talk with you always.